Morning. It's nice to be here on such a beautiful sunny morning. I have to tell you, earlier in the week when we were getting all that snow, I was a little grumpy. But the sunshine feels really nice today, and I'm really very humbled to be here and excited to tell you about some of the work that I do with some pretty amazing people. Let me start by just talking a little bit about something that happened in the news this week. This week marks the celebration of the life of Billy Graham. He was a wonderful leader. He was a wonderful teacher. And he was an inspiration to so many people in this world. And I was reading some of his sermons this week, and one of them really touched me. He really called us to be Jesus' hands and feet on earth. And one of the stories that he told often, actually there are two stories, the parable of the bags of gold and the sheep and the goats from Matthew. And Reverend Graham said, you know, Matthew's gospel devotes two full chapters to the subject of the second coming of Christ. He asks, how does Jesus prepare his followers for the day of his return? Well, he tells them stories. In Matthew chapter 25, we hear two stories told by Jesus. These are some of Jesus' final teachings. And I think they really sum up beautifully what we're called to be as Christians and how to prepare for his return. The two stories, as I mentioned before, are the parable of the talents, the bags of gold, and the sheep and the goats. So I'd like to ask you, if you would, to turn to your Bibles. I'd like to read both of those, and then I'd like to kind of talk about some people that I really believe take these parables to heart. So the parable of the bags of gold. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave five bags of gold, to another, two bags, and to another, one bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received five bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained five bags more. So also, the one with two bags of gold gained two more. But the man who had received one bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received five bags of gold brought another five. Master, he said, you entrusted me with five bags of gold. See, I have gained five more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with the few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with two bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two bags of gold, and I have gained two more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, and I gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him, and take it to the one who has 10 bags, for whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The second parable of the sheep and goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All of the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from one as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came and visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So Reverend Graham encouraged us to listen to the familiar parable of the talents. A man going on a journey gives portions of his estate to three servants who each make choices regarding what to do with the master's money. They do so with the knowledge that they will someday give an account of their management. After a long time, the master returns and the accounts are settled. What does this parable teach us about living our lives today as we await his coming? All we have, our material goods, our abilities, and even our very lives belong to somebody else. We are merely holding them for the day that Christ returns so that we can give them back. The parable of the sheep and goats shows that one's treatment of God's people in the tribulation will be a demonstration of one's faith in God, which is the key to the entrance to the kingdom. So this morning I'd like to introduce you to some people that I know in Buffalo's inner city who have come together as a demonstration of their faith. This couple here are Gary and Linda Tattoo. They are the founders of the ministry that I serve. Gary and Linda had a strong faith. They had lived into their 50s. Gary was a contractor and had built homes for a living. Linda was a secretary. And Gary came home one night and he said, you know what? I feel like God is calling me to do something really big and really different. And Linda said, well, what do you think God's calling you to do? And he said, I don't know, but I'm going to discern this. I'm going to pray on this and I'm going to ask God to help me. So a few months later, Gary came home and he said, I think I know what God wants me to do. And she said, wonderful. And he said, I was driving in Buffalo today and I found an old boarded up church in South Buffalo, and I think we should buy the church and start a ministry for Christ. And Linda thought he'd lost his mind. She really did. She said, how are we going to afford that? And he said, we're going to sell everything. We're going to sell our house. We're going to sell our cars. We're going to sell our boats. We're going to give everything away. We're going to build this church. I don't know what God is calling us to do, but I firmly believe that if I do this, God will answer my prayers, and he will tell us what he wants us to do. So they took that leap of faith, and they sold everything. They bought the church. Ben, would you go to the next story? With Gary and Linda, you can see the church there. Oh, it's back. Well, that's okay. You saw the church there a second ago. So they bought the boarded up church. They still didn't know what God was calling them to do. So one day they got a phone call from a pastor in the neighborhood. They'd been doing some outreach. They'd been speaking about their call And the pastor said, you know, we really need a place. We've got some kids coming into Buffalo to work for Habitat for Humanity. We need a place for them to stay. Do you think that you can open your church and let the kids stay there while they do their work in the community? And Gary and Linda loved that idea. They thought, wow, you know, let's be a place where young people can come and discern their faith. So then a few months later, Linda opened the doors to the church one day, and there were clothes, children's clothes, and there was a crib and a few other items, and they looked at each other and they said, what is this about? Well, somebody had left children's clothes, knowing that people in the neighborhood were very poor, and I guess they were hoping that Gary and Linda would be able to take these clothes and get them in the hands of people that needed them. So Linda said, you know what? I think God's calling us to open a baby ministry. So they did. They opened the baby and children's ministry, and they started collecting donations of clothing, gifts from the community, and then they turned around and they gave those things away to people who were truly in need. Both those ministries grew and grew and grew, and it was a thriving ministry. And then one day, Ben, will you go to, you go the other way? There you go. So that's Gary and Linda, and that's the church. If you go to the next one, please. So Gary got a phone call from a friend of his one day, and he said, I have a building on the east side of Buffalo, another very poor neighborhood. And I would like for, I'm going to retire. It was an old Mack truck building. Before that, it was an A&P supermarket. And he said, I would like to give you this building. I don't know what you're going to do with it, but I have a feeling that, like with the church, God will call people there to help the community in whatever the community needs. And once again, you know, Gary struggled with that. He really had to discern whether or not this was a good idea. It was a big undertaking. And through prayer and discernment, he and Linda finally agreed to take on the second building. So today we have two buildings in the ministry, the church, which is now a retreat center. The baby and children's ministry had grown so large that they needed to move it someplace. And they said, well, you know what, let's start a ministry, a service ministry on the east side of Buffalo. So the baby and children's ministry moved there and joined two other ministries. Baby and children's ministry serves more than 5,000 children a year, children who come from very poor families. We do a lot with foster families. I don't know if you know this or not, and I think Tara can give us a good sense of that here in our church. When you receive a foster child, it's kind of overnight sometimes. You'll get a phone call, and they'll say, we need you to take this child. They need a safe place to stay. They show up with literally the clothes on them. They have nothing else. And it takes a few weeks for social services to kind of help get some of the supplies that the kids need. So we're there to help those foster families get all the clothing, everything that they need to take care of those young kids that they've invited into their homes and into their hearts. A lot of people who come from different countries who have nothing when they arrive come to our baby and children's ministry, and we help them with clothes and books and toys, coats, underwear, socks. People leave with everything that they will need. It's not a ton of things. They'll have four or five outfits per child, but it's wonderful to see the gratitude and the thanks that the families give to us. So the next ministry I'll just introduce, and then I'm going to tell you some stories about each one. The next ministry is Good Neighbors Healthcare. We provide medical, dental, vision care, spiritual counseling, and substance abuse counseling to anyone in the community who is either uninsured or underinsured. These are people who are your working poor. They have one job, maybe two. They can pay their rent. They take care of their families, but they don't have that. They don't qualify for Medicaid, but they don't quite have $300-$400 a month for health insurance. So what happens when they get sick? Well, they have to pay for their health care out of pocket. A lot of the things that we see at Good Neighbors Healthcare are illnesses from living in poverty. We see a lot of high blood pressure. We see a lot of diabetes. We see a lot of people in horrible pain because they haven't had the opportunity to take care of their teeth. We have 75 volunteers that run this ministry. They are doctors. They are nurses. They are dentists. They are dental hygienists. They come and they spend 4 hours a week with us giving back from their private practices and serving. They serve more than 2,500 people a year. So Gary and Linda, we've got the retreat center, we've got the baby and children's ministry, we've got Good Neighbors Healthcare, and those ministries are about saving lives. But how do you change lives? And Gary spent a lot of time thinking about this, and he said, you know, in order to make our lives better, we need an education. And he realized, if you'll go to the next slide, Ben, thank you. In order for young people to lift themselves out of poverty, you need an education. A lot of our kids come to us from the inner city. They've gone to Buffalo Public Schools. Some of them have not gotten a very good education at all. They're working minimum wage jobs. They're 18 and over. Our average age of our students is about 22. These young people know that they need a certificate-based program to be able to earn a living to support themselves and their families. So they come to us. We have about 1,400 students a year, and they come to us and they study nursing and construction trades and facilities management and computers. And our goal is to help them get the training they need so that they can get those living wage jobs, helping lift people out of poverty. So let me tell you a few stories about some of the people. If you'll show me the next slide. This is Guadalupe Peña. She's worked at the ministry for 15 years. She runs the baby and children's ministry. Guadalupe has a big heart for children. And I was waiting. We were preparing to open the baby and children's ministry. We're open 4 days a week in that ministry. And Lupe came into my office and she said, you have to come see this. There are all these people outside. And I said, well, what are you talking about? You know, typically when we start to open the building, you'll have 5 or 10 people waiting outside for the ministry to open. Well, today there was a line going from the door all the way down the street. And I looked at Lupe and I said, what's going on? Do you have any idea? And she said, I have no idea. I said, well, let's open the doors. And she opened the door, and people started flooding in. And they were all talking to Lupe. Lupe speaks Spanish, so they were all speaking in Spanish. And she's got her arms up, and she's hugging people. And I'm thinking, all right, what's going on here? I'm missing something. And she said, no. She said, Carol, these folks are all from Puerto Rico. This was right after the hurricane, Hurricane Maria. We had more than, I don't know if you know this, but we had more than 500 people come into Buffalo over a span of about 30 days. They were in the clothes that they left Puerto Rico in. They had a t-shirt, they had shorts, they had flip-flops, they had nothing else. They came to Buffalo because many of them had family here. There were a lot of churches taking people in. They didn't know how long they were going to be here, but it's now October in Buffalo, and we know we need to get some clothes on these kids fast. Their parents were also in great need. So Lupe said, we need to reach out. We need to put a call out into the community, into our community. So we sent notices out by email. We put notices on Facebook. We asked people if they would bring us clothes. And the next day, carloads of clothes started coming into the ministry. People were giving to those who were so in need and coming to our city. So this is a picture of Lupe with some of the donations. That was just one room. We had another huge classroom just full of donations. And it was an exciting time. I mean, our community was really coming together to help those in need. So we were a little overwhelmed, to be honest with you. So we called in the cavalry, young adult youth group came to the challenge. You can see two of them right here. and spent a whole day with us in the ministry helping to sort those clothes so that we could get them quickly into the hands of children. So they sorted newborn to size 14, adult clothes that had come in. We don't typically take adult clothes, but during this period of time, we were able to expand our ministry, expand that call to service that we had. And we were able to, before the snow started to fly, we were able to get all of those kids the basic essentials, those things that they would need for a Buffalo winter. I talk a lot about Harvest House. We have ministries within the ministry. The next slide is a picture of a gentleman who came to us. He and his wife knew that they wanted to serve somehow. They didn't really know what God was calling them to do. And so they said, we'd like to help. Can you tell us, you know, how we can help you? And that always makes me a little nervous. I don't know what God is calling anyone to do. I know what God has called me to do, and I've spent a lot of time discerning what God calls me to do. But I'm always a little nervous when people say, well, what do you think God's calling me to do? So typically what I do is I'll give people a tour around the ministry, and then I'll invite them to think about what's on their heart. What do they feel God is calling them to do? So I gave this gentleman and his wife a tour, and he came back and he said, you know, we feel very strongly that we want children to have a coat. We love your baby ministry. We would like to provide coats for kids. And I said, awesome. And he said, I'll see you in a few months. He said, I'm going to go reach out into my community. I'm going to work with my church. And in November, he came back with 300 coats, brand new coats. He had taken a collection. He had gone to a company called Coats for Kids, where he was able to purchase brand new coats at a discount. And he said, I've got 300 coats coming to you. I don't want you to put them out. I just want you to get them hung up. So our volunteers came in. They hung up all those coats. He and his wife came in, and they prayed over the coats. And then he put a Bible message in the pocket of every coat. So as those children come to our ministry, they put on their brand new coat, they bring that warmth around them, they put their hand in the pocket, and they find this note that's just for them about how they are loved and they are valued and how God is working in their lives. And it's just an awesome ministry. We see them once a year, every year. And that ministry has just grown and grown. And I think it's just wonderful how he and his wife spent that time to discern, you know, what God was calling them to do. I have another story about callings. I speak at retreats and conferences and things, and I had a young woman who came up to me after I spoke one day, and she said, you know, I think it's really neat that you found your calling. I don't really know what God is calling me to do. And it's really bothering me. I feel like I'm not answering his call because I'm not hearing it. And I said, well, tell me about yourself. Well, she had been in the military. She was a medic, met a wonderful man, and they got married, and they had three small children. And I said, well, wait a minute. I said, you have three children and a family. You're raising three little ones. Isn't that perhaps a ministry? I think God gives us our families is probably the first ministry that he calls us to as adults oftentimes. And I suggested to her that she think about this time as a time of ministering to family. I said, God will call you if he has something he wants you to do. But don't discount that time of family and caring for those young kids because, as I well know, with the aid of our children, they grow up and they go off very quickly. And I encouraged her, you know, when you're done with one ministry, keep listening. He'll call you to another. So about a year later, I had a young student come in. She was a certified nursing assistant. She was a student getting her CNA. And I asked her what she was going to do when she left Harvest House. And she said, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I have no idea, but I want to go into the military. And I would like to be a medic. It's interesting. So I did some circling back, and I called the woman that I had met a year before at a retreat. And I said, I have a young woman who is really interested in doing kind of what you've done in your life. Would you be willing to minister to her? Would you be willing to reach out and mentor her? And she said, oh my gosh, that's wonderful. I would love to do that. I had no idea when I met the woman at the retreat center that God would use me a year later to connect to a ministry, to another human being that was in need along the way. But it was so awesome to be able to put those two together. They remain friends. We got a letter from this student. She's now in the military. She wanted to thank us for helping her along in her journey. And it was just awesome to be able to have God use me in that way. There's another. Sometimes our stories are not quite so happy. One day I was in my office, and Scott, who is our maintenance guy, came in, and he said, Carol, I need you to come to the bathroom. And I'm thinking, you need me to come to the bathroom? He goes, yeah, I need you to come with me. And I'm like, Scott, I'm doing budgets, I'm doing planning, I've got my work here. And Scott just looked at me, he was insistent, he said, you need to come with me. Sometimes, you know, I forget what God has really sent me to Harvest House to do. I get so caught up in the budgets and the planning and the numbers that sometimes he has to kind of push me out of my office and push me where he needs me, where I can be his hands and feet. So I'm still not really there. I'm kind of following, but I'm grumbling about it. I'm saying, you know, if I don't get this budget done, Scott. And he's like, just come with me. So he opens the door, and there's a woman sitting on the floor sobbing. I mean, uncontrollably sobbing. Scott put his hand on my shoulder, and he said, here's your work. And I shut the door, and I sat on the floor with this woman. I didn't know how I was going to help her. I just knew that God was with me, so I prayed. I asked him to come and fill the space. I asked him to be with us. I asked him to help connect me with this young woman. So after a few minutes, she was able to kind of compose herself. I asked her if she wanted to talk about it. And she said, yeah. She said, I don't know what I'm going to do. She said, I'm totally at a loss. Come to find out, she had moved back to Buffalo to take care of her mother who was dying. She brought her three children with her. She had enrolled in our licensed practical nursing program, which is a very tough one-year program. She was about three-quarters of the way through, and her mother passed away. So as she was grieving her mother's death, she got a knock on the front door of the apartment that they shared. She came to find out that her mother was living in senior subsidized housing. And when her mother passed away, the lease to the apartment ended. She had 4 days to find a new place to live. So now, in addition to being grieving her mother's loss, she was faced with being homeless. She didn't know what to do. And she said, Carol, I've always been a woman of faith. I've always thought that God was there and close to me, but I think he's left me. I don't feel him. I don't know what I've done, and I don't know where to go. And I said to her, well, maybe he sent you here for a reason. I asked her if she would trust me. I asked her if she would help me to help her and connect her to some parts of our ministry that I thought could help her along. First thing I did was I took her over to the baby and children's ministry where we were able to get clothes for her kids. It seems like a simple little thing, but when your world is falling apart, just being able to collect a few coats and some underwear and some socks helps you to feel like, okay, I've got this. I've got something to hold on to. And then I took her in to meet her with two of our social workers who help folks who are experiencing homelessness. And I said to them, can you reach out to some landlords? Can we try to help her find a place that she can afford? She didn't have first and last month's rent, but can we advocate for her with this landlord? She's about to get finish her certification. She's going to be a nurse. She'll be a great tenant. Can you please just let her pay the first and last month's rent $50 at a time so that she can get quickly into housing. We were able to connect her to that. And then I said to her, I'd like you to come over and meet some really special people in our Good Neighbors Healthcare. There are spiritual counselors. They will pray with you. They can talk to you. They can help you kind of deal with your grief and deal with all of the changes going on in your life. Well, I can tell you that because of the help of a few people along the way, she was able to graduate from our LPN program. She is a nurse today. And that little house that she was able to rent, she is now working to own. And she's made wonderful progress in her life, and we were all just thrilled to be able to be there for her in a very dark time where she had lost her faith. She didn't realize that God really was still there waiting to help her, using us to do that. So that's my story of that student. I have one more quick story of a student. This is Euphrem. Euphrem came to us from Burundi. It's in Africa. He lived there with his family. There was a civil war. He is a Christian. His family was murdered, and it wasn't safe for him to be there anymore. He found his way to Buffalo through Journey's End. All he wanted was to be a nurse. Euphrem speaks French, and he speaks Burundi. His English, not so good. So I was talking to him, and he was living in one room near the Broadway Market area, a very poor neighborhood. He was walking an hour and a half to get to us every day. He so wanted an education. But he couldn't pass the entrance exam to get into the LPN class. He didn't. His English just wasn't good enough yet. And I said to him, let me introduce you to some folks that volunteer here. We have young pre-med students from Canisius College who come in four times a week. They give their time to work with our students to help them with math, with English, reading comprehension. Some of our students come to us with a fourth or fifth grade reading ability. We need to get that up to 10th or 12th grade for them to be able to get into the class and then for them to be successful. What we were finding was the students were coming in, they were throwing themselves at these entrance exams, and they were failing. And I would sit down with them, and through the tears they would say, you know, I thought I could do this. I thought I could make something of my life, but I guess I can't. And I hated hearing that their first experience at Harvest House was that of what they thought was failure. So we started this tutoring program, and now I can tell you that our program has grown. We now have day and evening classes. We have a 95% placement for our nursing students, and a lot of that is because these young people have had some of that help along the way. I'd like to tell you that I think that they're the only ones that, you know, that we're doing all the giving and they're doing all the receiving, but that's just not true. I found in the case of Euphrem that there was a young man who came from Canisius who started working with him, and he finished his, they have to do like 50 hours. He finished those and he kept coming back, and I'm like, what are you doing here? And he said, I have a bond. He said, Euphrem is such an inspiration to me in my life that I'm going to come back here, and I'm going to help him get through that LPN class. So Euphrem studied all day, and then in the evening he came back to that tutor. I don't know at that point who was ministering to who, but both of them were so richly rewarded by the relationship that they had together. If you can show me the next slide. This is a slide of Euphrem. This is at his citizenship ceremony. He became a U.S. citizen. Our ministry came together to help him on his path. This picture is a few of his students. He also came back and started working in our Good Neighbors Healthcare. So he is now a nurse. He volunteers his time. The woman on the far right in the red jacket, she's a nurse that he works with in that ministry now. So it's another one of those situations where he started as someone who was on the receiving end, and now he's on the giving end and reaching out to those in need himself. If you've never been to a citizenship ceremony, I highly suggest that you go. It is an awesome experience. I was really proud to be an American. I was really proud to be part of Ephraim's family. His graduation gift, we all pooled together and we bought him a Bible. And it was just a really special day for all of us. So one more picture that I'd like to show you is of me. This is me standing with Gary and Linda Tattoo. I was called to this ministry 5 years ago. Before I worked at Harvest House, I worked with homeless youth. And I had a friend who called one day and said that he knew a couple on the east side who ran a ministry. They needed help getting their school up and off the ground. And he said, I think you guys might really like each other. I know that you're somebody who really likes working in the faith community. Would you be willing to go and meet with them? So I did. And they asked me to join them. Gary had just been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. He knew that he probably only had 4 or 5 years to live. And he wanted his vision to continue. And he knew that he was going to be able to do fewer things, and he needed to bring some other folks in to help manage kind of the day-to-day operations. So I started with the school. I love my job at the school. I loved working with the students. One day, Gary and Linda called me in, and they said, it's time for us to hand over the reins, and we would like for you to take over the ministry, all of the ministries, all 4 of the ministries. And I have to tell you, I was humbled. I felt blessed to be there, but I was terrified. I was absolutely terrified. I'm thinking, who am I to run a ministry like this? And I went home and I talked to my wonderful, dear, patient husband, who really walks with me in my ministry. And I said to him, you know, I feel like a reluctant follower. And he said, are you sure that that's, you really think that? I said, I do. I'm really nervous about doing this. I really don't think I should, you know, I can do this. And he said, you know what? You may be a reluctant leader, but I've never known you to be a reluctant follower. And those words really struck me. God wasn't calling me to run the ministry. He's got his hand all over it. I can tell you stories. We could be here all day telling you stories about how God, I know God has his hand. He sends people in when they're most at need. God's running the ministry. All he needs is for me to do the work for him. He sends people in. He asks me to care for them. They aren't big things. They're little things. I'm not looking to do anything big. I'm working with 175 volunteers to do little things, to help the veteran who needs a tooth pulled because he's in so much pain, to welcome the student who's not so sure that they have the tools that they need, to help the homeless mom find a place to live. That can feel big sometimes. But for the most part, all we're asked to do is the little things. I really appreciated Zach a couple of weeks ago talking about, you know, not knowing what God was calling him to do. And in that day, it was just help somebody out of a ditch. It seems like a small thing, but over time, it can be huge. I don't know how I touch people's lives. I don't know when someone is going to send me an Elizabeth at the retreat, or a Shauna, the student who just needed a little help along the way. But I'm really comfortable knowing that God has led them to us, and I'm really comfortable knowing that if we don't have the answer, we'll find it. So every day, I say a prayer, and I just, I want to share it with you because it really, it's a prayer that helps me each morning as I'm driving to work. I say, God, thank you that we experience your amazing grace, your love, and your faithfulness. Help me to be your hands and feet on earth, to have a concern for the poorest of the poor and needy, especially those who have never known your unconditional love or who have lost their faith. And I've got to say that I've asked God, and I've said, I'm here, use me in any way that you want. Every day I ask him to use me, and it's the best job I've ever had. It is my ministry. Well, I shouldn't say that. My family is probably my number one ministry. I love that work too. So getting back to Reverend Graham, he wants us to ask ourselves, what's your talent? God has given you these coins. How are you going to use them? Reverend Graham said, sometimes our view of the second coming is so centered on the judgment of God that we overlook the joyful nature of his return for those who are prepared. On his return, Jesus will look for those he can invite into his joy. True, there will be judgment, but God's motivation is to share his happiness with all those who have longed for his coming. So I have one more quick little story, and then I want to show you a video. Pat works with a woman who has a daughter who is in college, and she was working to get a degree in communications. And Pat was telling this woman about Harvest House and our ministry, and she said, you know, my daughter is really, you know, she's got great faith, and I'm wondering if maybe she can use her talent to come in and do something for you in the ministry. So she came in, she spent a few days with me, kind of shadowing me, and, you know, a really good photographer, you barely know that they're even there. Well, she just kind of floated around for a few days, and at the end of that time, she put a video together for us that shows, I think, the heart and the soul of Harvest House Ministries. I was so thrilled that God used her and her talent to bring us something that that will allow me to kind of show you our ministry. So if I can, I'd like to show you this video of our ministry in action.
My name is Dakeem, and I'm also a student here in Harvest House with Stephanie. She's actually my sister, funny enough. And I just want to briefly say that this has been a great facility. It's been a great learning experience being in this program. Like she said, the staff is great.
Next door is good neighbors. Personally, they've helped me, and for anyone else in need that needs their assistance. It's a good program here.
The life experiences are as rich as the content of the material. You really get connected with the people here, and you share lives and share experiences and really move with them.
Blessing, and everybody who works here is a blessing, and I feel like we're all kind of like family, so that's for me. I love everybody here.
Thank you.
With us about Harvest House. It was back in November that my family and some of the young adults went down there for, it was really just half a day to help organize some of the clothes, and we had a great time. It's a really well-run ministry. I think Stephanie and I both came away just really impressed at the quality of the ministry. I think some of us, me sort of being a country boy, you think of, oh, going to the east side. It's not really necessarily the place that you want to go and spend a Saturday. And you think, oh, there's not enough parking and it's dangerous. Well, just to encourage you, it's easy to get to. There's plenty of parking and it's very safe. It's a great place to go and visit it. And I'm excited that as we sort of continue working with Carol, and it's nice that we have that personal connection here in our congregation, that we can continue as a church to get more involved, because it's a great ministry. She didn't mention too much about it, but you saw in the video they have occupational trades too, carpentry and electrical, and so that's an interest to me. So they just do a really great job. I just want to put that plug in there. So thanks for sharing, and Nate, could you just come up and close us? Do you have a song? Okay, great, thanks.